The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under a fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Hearken back to our Old Testament reading. Can you imagine what it would be like to hear the voice of the living God calling your name? Jim, Joan, Paul, Andrew. Maybe you have heard God calling. Maybe you were walking along on a blustery day and found yourself turning abruptly because you were quite sure you heard your name in the sighs of the wind. Or maybe you were sitting in the quiet of your reading place and noticed yourself cocking your head before you even realized that there had been a whisper meant just for you. Or maybe there was a night when you awoke from a dream because someone was calling your name, and really, it was no longer a dream. I don't think we need to wonder about whether or not God calls us. Surely God does. The better questions are, how do I recognize the voice of the living God? And how will I respond? Hearing the voice of the living God calling us by name isn't something we're necessarily accustomed to listening for. And even if it is our greatest heart's desire, only a few of us have had experiences anything like Samuel's. While he did respond, it was not initially to the source of his call. And even though he didn't understand where it was coming from, even though he didn't get it right, he knew the voice mattered, and he followed until he did get it right. I can't help thinking about the epiphany experience we witnessed this year when people who, based on their banners and flags, were standing on the side of Jesus, but were somehow very confused about the voice that was speaking to them. They didn't seem to realize that the voice of the one calling them was not the voice. But because God on our side is such a rallying cry, those Jesus Saves banner flyers in the Capitol heard a voice and proclaimed it the voice of God. Then they killed people and destroyed property and desecrated the very thing they said they were trying to save. The scriptures tell us that Samuel didn't yet know the Lord, So we may assume that's why he didn't recognize that mysterious voice as God's own. That might be true of the insurrectionists that flew the Confederate flag and the Jesus banners too. Maybe they don't yet know the Lord. The things they did, the things they said, didn't look or sound like Jesus to me. When did you hear Jesus say, "White people matter, brown and black people do not"? Jesus was brown. It's surprising to hear that Samuel didn't yet know the Lord, because everything about his life had been steeped in God. Samuel's story begins with the heartrending account of a barren woman begging God for a son. In fact, she spent so much time in the temple praying so fervently and incessantly that the priest Eli told her to remove her drunken self from the temple. "But I've drunk no wine or strong drink," Hannah cried. "I am pouring out my soul to God." "Ah," said Eli. And once he caught up with the holy thing that was happening right in front of his eyes, he assured her that God had heard her and that surely God would bless her. In due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, Samuel, whose name means God has heard. In her joy, Hannah nursed her baby boy, and when he was weaned, she took him to that same priest, Eli, returning her firstborn miracle baby boy, Samuel, to the God who had given him. And there in the temple, Samuel served God under the care and instruction of the old priest, Eli. We're told that the word of the Lord was rare in those days, that visions were not widespread. The word of the Lord is rare in our day, too. We long for visions and signs, yet when they happen, we dismiss and disregard them, discount them sometimes, laugh at them sometimes, laugh at their believers and call them gullible. And still, like Samuel, we somehow know ourselves to be set apart for service to the Lord. The soon-to-be prophet Samuel reminds us that it is possible to be surrounded by all the trappings of religion, to spend one's days doing the work of the temple, even to sleep at the foot of the very throne of God, and still not know the Lord. We don't actually come to know God through books or buildings or ritual or even scripture. As it turns out, we can only know God in relationship. And while all those other things, ritual, architecture, scholarship, and scripture matter deeply, they matter because they help us to deepen our relationships with God and each other. Samuel, Samuel. It was God calling the boy into relationship. At first they didn't understand, but when it dawned on Eli that the Lord was calling the boy, Eli helped Samuel to follow that call. That's the nature of calling. It's communal. Sometimes we can't see what's right in front of us. Sometimes we can't hear what's being said to us. Sometimes we can't feel God's presence in our solitude. So we look for God together. We listen for God together. We worship God together, and we come to know God's presence in each other. It took the aging and nearly blind Eli to help Samuel see, to see that it was God who was calling. It took Philip to help Nathanael understand it was Jesus, the Messiah, who was calling. It took my mother and my study partner and my discernment committee and many mentors and even the tired old woman whose feet spilled out of her broken brown shoes to help me understand what God was calling me into. We need each other to help us to see and to hear, even the most unlikely others, especially the most unlikely others. Because if we only listen to the people who sound just like us, we get what we got at the Capitol on Epiphany. Who are the people in your life who help you hear the voice of the living God? Who are your unlikely others? The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is one of those unlikely others. Dr. King didn't set out to be a martyr, didn't set out to be a PhD, didn't set out to be a Nobel Peace Prize winner. He was a deeply faithful man who was called to follow Jesus of Nazareth. As we honor him this weekend, it's good to look at his life in light of the stories of Samuel and the stories of all the disciples Jesus called by name. Dr. King's response to God's call was to help others hear God calling their names. And he did that, even at the cost of his life. Dr. King knew that his work was dangerous, knew that his gospel preaching was not what the powerful and comfortable white people wanted to hear, knew that God's passion for justice made some people very angry. But still, he spoke the word of God as he heard it. It probably wasn't without fear and trembling, but he was bold in his proclamation and in his insistence on nonviolent civil disobedience. He was a brilliant man. His life as a preacher and a teacher made good use of the many good gifts God had given him. And still, all that brilliance, all that wisdom, all that gorgeous and inspired rhetoric wasn't enough to satisfy his soul. My father was a preacher, he said. My grandfather was a preacher. My great-grandfather was a preacher. My brother is a preacher. My daddy's brother is a preacher. So I didn't have much choice. But one day I realized that what I had was inherited religion. I had never had an experience of God. Just like Samuel, just like Nathaniel, just like you and me, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. needed to know God and needed to be known by God. Real relationship between human and divine is not reserved just for the prophets and sages. It's for all of us. And Jesus, the one who links heaven and earth, human and divine, makes our deep connection with God possible. We are God's beloved. We are somebody because we are known and loved. God knows each and every one of us, and God calls us by name, gifting us with gifts uniquely our own so we can do God's work in the world, blessing and loving the world back into wholeness. There are so many who long to hear God's call to them, so many who long for God's boundless and overflowing love, and we are called to speak to their longing. Come and see, Philip said, and Nathanael's preconceived notions about Jesus of Nazareth fell away. Say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening, the priest Eli said. and the Lord was made known to the budding prophet Samuel. "I have a dream," Dr. King said, and multitudes saw themselves as beloved of God. We are all being called by God, prophets and fisher people, and all of us in between. Ours is to respond to God's particular call to us and to help each other discern the voice of the living God. How will we listen and encourage each other to hear? How will we know what God is calling us into? Listen. The boy Samuel once dreamed the voice was calling his name. Fishermen once heard the voice when a stranger bid them follow. That voice still beckons today. Can you hear it? What will you say? Here am I. Send me. Moses protested vehemently as the voice spoke from the burning bush. Mary sat amazed as the voice proclaimed impending birth. That voice still beckons today. Can you hear it? What will you say? Here am I. Send me. Rosa Parks followed the voice to the front of the bus. Martin Luther King Jr. heard the voice through the beatings and the burnings. That voice still beckons today. Can you hear it? What will you say? Here am I. Send me. The voice beckons from humble places, in the tears of hungry children, in the cries of the frail and frightened elderly, in the pleas of those whose dreams have been too long set aside. That voice still beckons today. Can you hear it? What will you say? Here am I. Send me. A shy believer pauses to listen to the voice. A struggling church hears the voice and turns. The voice still beckons today. Can you hear it? What will you say? Here am I. Send me. Amen.